Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is for all men, that Thou wilt have all men to know, and if it were possible that all men should be saved, that Thou hast sent out Thy servants, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, making disciples of all nations. We thank Thee for it, and we pray now as we continue to study Thy word that Thou wilt open the eyes of our understanding, that we may grasp the whole truth. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen. We come now in our study in the Gospel according to Matthew, in chapter 15, and to verse 21. And we have here the incident of a certain miracle that is done, a certain healing work that is done, which in many ways looks to be quite routine. As you look through this section from verses 21 to 31 in the 15th chapter of Matthew, you'd be inclined to feel that, well, this is the kind of thing we've had before. Because this is the case of where a woman came to him and asked him to have mercy on her daughter. And you're reminded of the ruler who came to him and asked him to have mercy on his daughter who was dead. Or you think of the centurion who came to him and asked him to have mercy on his servant who was sick. This sounds just to be the same. But there's a new thing in this, and we'll see it as we look into it. We're going to find out that at this point, something new is brought into the Gospel of Matthew in this revelation from God that opens up a new angle, a new dimension to the spreading of the gospel. Let us notice it just as we read from verse 21 on. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. These were two cities up on the Mediterranean, some distance away from Judea and from Galilee and from Samaria. They were some distance away and were among pagan people. And the Lord Jesus went up there, and behold, a woman of Canaan. And the big thing about this, and that's the point, and the major point in this story, is that this was a woman who was not a Jew. She didn't belong to the Jewish people. She was a Gentile. And here she is called a woman of Canaan. Came out of the same coast, that means that area, that section of the country, and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. So this woman of Canaan asks, Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. Confidently she asks for help. Now that might not seem strange to us, but in that day and time and among those people, it would be a shocking thing. She was a Gentile. And it was commonly, it was in the air, it was a popular notion that she didn't belong, that she had no place in this. But intelligently she calls him Lord, son of David. This is Old Testament ground. She knows about the Old Testament scriptures. And she comes on the strength of what she knows in the Old Testament, and she asks him for help. But he answered her not a word. This is one of those instances, and there are several of them, and each one always puts you on the alert. You come to thinking, watch now. You know perfectly well his compassion would go out to her. You know his gentle disposition to help would be ready to reach to her. But now he pauses. He answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. Apparently she persisted. Apparently she came again and again and again and again. And they got tired of it, and they said to him, Send her away. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now I cannot help but feel that this was being said to test his disciples. Because this, you see, was the popular view. This was the common doctrine. That salvation is of the Jews, and that God's blessing would come to the Jews, and that while there might be Jews that would go wrong, they were lost sheep. They were still sheep, and they belonged to God. And that and so there would be persons sent to win these lost sheep back to the house of Israel. And so he quotes the popular idea, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him. That is, she made a personal appointment with him. She came directly into his presence, saying, Lord, help me. Now he was confronted with a straight request from her. But he answered and said, "It is not meet, that is, it's not fitting, it's not a good thing, to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." This is again repeating a popular view. It was popular among the Jewish people to call the Gentiles dogs. And what he is doing now to this woman is drawing attention to the fact that it's common doctrine that the Jews are the children of God and all the other people are just dogs. So he says to her, "It is not fitting thing to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." She said, "Truth, Lord," meaning just what it says. "That's right. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." In a sense, the dogs are in the household. And this is to the household of Israel. You know what is actually at the back of this whole thing? What there is deep down underneath this whole matter? This woman of Canaan, reading and knowing the Old Testament scriptures, understood what is in the Old Testament scriptures, but not so clearly brought out at all times, that anybody, whosoever believeth in God, can come to God, even as Abraham first came to God. And that the Jewish people themselves, the nation of Israel, were to be the messengers to the whole world of this gospel story. And there are promises in there. "In him shall the Gentiles trust." Here's a Gentile. She's trusting in him. To be sure she's a Gentile, to be sure she's a pagan, and to be sure she has not the ready access into the Jewish community that she would have if she were a member of a Jewish tribe. But so far as the Lord is concerned, so far as God is concerned, he's not the exclusive property of the Jews. He's not the exclusive property of Israel. He belongs to the whole world. And the gospel that he gives out doesn't belong just to the Jews. It goes out to the whole world. Even in our day and time, we have some people stressing this very line of thought. And some will go along with this idea that God is the God of the whole world to the point where they would make you think he's dealing with each nation as he sees fit. And so they would try to say that if he's dealing in one way with the Arabians, that's God's way. Another way with the Hindus, that's God's way. Another way with the Africans, that's God's way. But to them we would say, "Wait a minute, not so fast. God gave his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him." And someone will say, "Well, these other people are coming by the Lord," but they're not. And it is a confusion of language to make out that they are. That's why our missionaries go to them. Now, that they were created by God is true, and that God is working with them is true, and that God will prepare them for our message is true, and that God will save any of them who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is true, but that's the only way he'd save us. There couldn't be any bigger fallacy than to assume that because my parents were Christian, I'm a Christian. Well, that's not true. Just because my grandfather was active in the church, therefore I belong to the church. Well, that's just talk. That isn't true. Every man comes to the Lord himself. Each one by one, comes to the Lord. And just as surely as we must individually believe, just so surely they, over the whole wide world, can come if they believe. That's the point here. And it is being revealed at this time through the faith of this woman. She persists. The Lord tests her out. He has said the things that the disciples hearing would recognize as being the popular view. So when she first cried out, "O Lord, Son of David, help me and my daughter," and then he said to the disciples, "I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." What the disciples wouldn't have understood at the time, and what the Jewish people didn't understand at the time, that anybody believing in God, anybody calling upon God, is the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He is a child of Abraham, because the children of Abraham are not biologically begotten. The children of Abraham are the people who have the faith of Abraham, the faith to believe in God and his promises simply because God gives them. So this woman kept it up. She stayed in there. And when he finally told her that it wasn't a fitting thing, that is, it's not fitting in a human point of view, from the standpoint of human society, from the standpoint of an earthly point of view, it's not fitting. that they should take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. But this woman persists, and I think in her own self she would know the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. She didn't hesitate. She came closer, as it were, and she said, "I know all that. But the little dogs, they eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. That's all we're asking." Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Why did he say she had such great faith? "Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." But why such great faith? Faith to understand. Faith to believe. The Old Testament promises that the message was for the whole wide world. God said to Abraham, "In thee and in thy seed shall all the nations be blessed." That included the Canaanites. That included this woman. And she knew it. So we read in verses 29 to 31, "Jesus departed from thence, came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet." That's rather an unfortunate interpretation or a translation, the casting them down. They laid them at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. "Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel." It would seem that the Lord Jesus did this ministry in public in this way, right in connection with this coming of the woman, as it were, to confirm it. And Matthew reports it and records it this way. And his continued ministry of helping the poor and the blind and the maimed and the sick and the diseased was glorifying the God of Israel. Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank thee that these things have been revealed to us. Add thy blessing to us as we think about them, and help us for thy name's sake, we ask it. Amen.